words, but it's very important. Are ye able? Are ye able? Brother Michael.
Thank you, Brother Ernie. And certainly it is good to be here at this meeting today with you, dear brethren. Appreciate the first study. As we were taking over subject for today, in the past few days, we were striving to come up with something that would be worded in the way of admonitions from the Scriptures concerning where we have come from up to this point and where we're going in our Christian walk in the future, and to have us be in like-mindedness with the Heavenly Father's plans and purposes, and that those are being worked out in our lives. But we realize that although we have entered into this covenant relationship with Him, it is not a done deal, so to speak. We have much work to do in our lives if we are to continually strive to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father, develop a greater knowledge of His plans and purposes in our lives, and then to apply those aspects to our own lives that we can please Him come what may. And so, as I was thinking on these things, my thoughts went to Matthew 20:22. Of course, He was being questioned, as He often was, and about different matters and so forth, and He did respond to them saying, "Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" So again, I thought this was an appropriate question. Are ye able? There's a question. It shows that there are circumstances that have to take place that you're able to fulfill these things. As we just had the hymn that we were singing, you're saying you want to give your heart to the Lord. You've done that. And to have your lips and your everything that you have to be used in His service. And this is our desire. And it's not to take glory and honor upon ourselves, but to give praise, glory, and honor to the Heavenly Father, to give that to Him, the source of all these blessings, who made these things possible, who gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever shall believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And this is our hope, that we can continue to walk in the Lord's footsteps and then respond to this question, are ye able? And so we realize that these words from Matthew 20:22 and also from John 18:11, some further thoughts in 1 Corinthians 10:16, we realize that this drinking of the Lord's cup by the church, by the footstep followers, would represent their participation in the sufferings of Christ during this present time. And this word able, it contains the thought of there has to be some force, some strength there, an ableness, and expresses a willingness, for it does indeed refer to the will. It is the will of God that we are submitting to, letting it being worked out in our own lives, and we've taken up that cross, taken up those things willingly. And again, as we have admonitions, once you take it up, you don't lay it down, but you go on. It does not refer to this you hear of somebody being able-bodied. We're not talking about a strength of body, because we are weak. Our flesh is prone to weaknesses. And of course, we'll go on and continue to do that, to be weak and of course, end with the death of this physical body. But we must be mentally able. And we see those round about us as they go on in the Christian walk, they continue to have that new mind, that strong mind, that they say, yes, we are able. We are willing. so the question is then also asked in there, are your will strong enough? Are you able? Are your will strong enough to endure, to go on?
We see the rich example of our Lord as He poured out His life.
He poured out His all unto sacrifice, the death on the cross. Finished at Calvary, Luke 12:50. And then we see His example. We see the things that He suffered and He endured because for righteousness' sake. All the hardships He had to go through. And so the true footstep follower of our Lord, with that new mind, let that mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. This new mind responds, we are able. The individual responds, I am able to do these things. Thank you. To live up to our vows of consecration. But it's not a boasting. It's not a pride. We see enough of that in the world today. Yes, I'm able. I'm going to do it. I'm going to accomplish it. And we see them falling short, our leaders, of accomplishing these things. It's a declaration. It's a full decision that whatever circumstances would befall us, that would come upon us, we say, yes, we are able. Because we know that conditions will arise, adverse conditions, and we have to go on each day and prove that we are loyal to the Heavenly Father. Prove that we have taken a stand and we want to take that stand and be faithful to the end of that. No matter what would arise. And we have in our minds no other course than that of obedience. We have seen the examples of obedience. We've seen it throughout this past year. We've seen it throughout our past years. We see it through examples of those strong in the faith in the Scriptures that were obedient to God. This is the driving force in our lives also, a desire to be obedient to the Heavenly Father, of following in His dear Son's footsteps, our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also that we have a heart desire to drink of this cup daily, Mark 10:38. We should desire, we should want to be humble, submissive, meek. These are all things that are contained in this statement, are ye able? And yes, we are able. I am able. I want to do these things. I want to live up to my vows of consecration and fulfill the things asked of me as I am privileged to go on each day in this narrow way. Along this line, as we end, here we are at the last day of December, the last day of 1995. The pastor has thoughts, and I've looked over some from these reprint articles, and I'll go ahead and give you the numbers. 29:29, 31:25, and 50:16. And the thoughts are that we give thanks to God by His grace that He has kept us through this year. Through all the experiences, some so joyous we can hardly express our joy, some very trying and serious and hard to endure. But we thank the Heavenly Father that He has preserved us through this year, kept us from falling. And that we can still see many of the same heart, the same love, of one accord, of one mind in respect to His Word and His service. And it increases our appreciation by looking back over the year and seeing every testimony that was given, thanking the Heavenly Father for His grace, His guidance, His help in time of need. The way we have seen prayer answered. And that, especially at this close of this harvest time, there are special testings going on to those who profess to be God's people. And also, every man's work shall be tried so as by fire. We see in this world today the adversary and his followers. Strong delusions are being brought upon the world. And also upon some of the Lord's people. We've heard the thoughts expressed about going backwards, you know, to nominal system. They have a lot of good things there to get, and you don't know much about service and giving and all these things. We have to go back to the world and see how they give. Strong delusions. And it's for the purpose, we know, of sifting out all those that are not truly His. That as they go on and one falsehood leads to another, we know this sifting out causes them to depart from the truth. The pastor says, because they had not received the truth in the love of it. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. And so it should, in all of our hearts, call upon our hearts to give thanks to God in this opening of another year, which will occur later today, and to finding ourselves still standing fast, no matter what is going on round about us, firm, fast, in this most holy faith, that we have a strong appreciation for the truth, a strong appreciation for the Heavenly Father's love, and in full accord with all the divine appointments that we studied even this morning, this wonderful chart, plan of the ages, and He's kept us from falling, that we have been able to go on through this year. Again, through all the experiences that we've had, having put that armor on to fight that good fight of faith, and then as we put it on, we're striving to keep it polished, prepared for the battle, that we can go on and fight that fight of faith to the finish. And then, having fought that fight of faith to the finish, the end of our course, lay aside that armor, and put on the robes of glory in that resurrection. And 1 Kings 20:11, 2 Timothy 4:7-8. So we rejoice in these things. We rejoice that we were permitted to go on through another day. Certainly through another year, because we know that we still have work to be done in our own lives if we are to be pleasing to the Father and be able to get these robes. But, you know, brethren, we don't stop to rejoice long because we do have work to do. We must go on. We know that this new year, which is about to take place, is full of blessings to the faithful. So we should be in anticipation of greater blessings even to come, of more opportunities for service, of more opportunities for showing forth our devotion, our joy, our love for the Heavenly Father, and circumstances that would cause us to be closer together as a family, as a body of Christ. So, we want to be faithful to His Word, and each day have this Word be fresh to us, to grasp afresh the precious promises that our Heavenly Father has made, and to grasp afresh the faithfulness that we've seen in the past, and to establish it further trust in Him, come what may. More faith that we can realize that He is the only one, through His dear Son also, of course, that will bring about everlasting change in this world and peace. And this is our prayer for the future, of course. And it comes through an eye of faith. We have to have faith in Him. We've talked about it so many times in the last few months in our studies. Faith in Him. You know, He has the power and the wisdom to deliver these things. So it's the faith that really connects us to this divine power that the Heavenly Father has. It's an access link to this. And it helps us to go on to perfection. That's our goal.
I know we have that loving Father that can look above our imperfections and our shortcomings, and He can bless us because we have entered into that covenant relationship. We're covered with the robes of Christ's righteousness. And we can go on. And we can say those words that faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. Come what may.
And then, of course, we have a stimulating force also in our lives, and that is love.
We see, again, in retrospect, the love that has been showered upon this ecclesia, individuals, the footstep followers of our Lord in the past, the tender mercies of our Lord toward us, and this should really fill us up
with a loving zeal.
More love. Want to be like-minded with the dear Son who had that wonderful love for His Father.
For Him and for His
royal own.
Even
our brethren.
We have a sympathetic love for the world. And we love Him because He loved us first. We seek in our lives to do the things that are pleasing to Him. And if we see in our walk we've done things that we shouldn't have done, we pray. And how are we? We're instant in prayer. We're praying for guidance and help. We're praying to have these things worked out in our lives. This is the submissiveness that we have. And again, it is a test of our faith. We are to seek those things pleasing to our Lord because we love Him. And it's not that little love, it's that agape,
that wholehearted love,
that sincere heart desire.
Because we love Him, and in that proportion, as we love Him, we will delight to do His will. We indeed delight in steps that we make of obedience and service, even at the cost of self-sacrifice. And of course, that's what it means. It's a giving of self and selfish interest. We vowed that vow to do this, to be used and consumed in His service, and that's what we want to do. And so let us go on in this new year to make resolutions that we will strive to do these things. And this is appropriate time for resolutions and reexamination of our ideals, our standards. The standards of life. These things we want to look over, examine. Very appropriate at this time. So we do these things. We want to please Him. And not that we can really add to our consecration. The fully consecrated can't really add to their consecration. But we want to look back and examine ourselves to see if we are giving our all, is included our all each day. Nor that we can start afresh. We can't really start afresh. We've been in this walk years. Right? Many years. Just as Israel did in the Day of Atonement at the beginning of the new year. No, that's not the consideration for us. But it is spiritual Israel, living daily, an hourly life of nearness to the high priest. And this blood of the new covenant, continually invoked upon the cleansing of the slightest defilement of our conscience. That thus this wedding garment of our Lord's imputed righteousness may not become, as the pastor used a term, bedraggled. But at the slightest spot, it's being removed, that we could have it presented without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So we do see that self-examination and good resolutions are fine. I might say, I really want to study my lesson more before I show up on Sunday morning or Monday night. That's a pretty good resolution. I want to read the manna each day, and I want to contemplate those things in the manna. I want to improve the way I conduct myself in my daily life. I want to be more patient. I want to be more loving, kind, more humble. I'm taking account of the things in my life that I see I need to improve. I'm talking about myself. Each of us should look at our own selves and see ways that we can improve. Just to speak more saying, I love thee, Father, or I want to be pleasing in thy sight. I want to do these things. You know, the world does it. They account. They have a time of accounting. It's maybe not always the end of a calendar year. It's the end of a fiscal year, perhaps. But they still do an accounting. How much more should a child of God, a footstep follower of the Lord, want to examine himself and take into account the ways he has maybe not done the things he should, and look at the ways he has and strive to get more on that side of the good things that we want to do. So let us then set our spiritual aims, our desires, our endeavors still nearer to the Heavenly Father. Still nearer to that divine standard. Remembering also our Lord's words, without me ye can do nothing. If we leave here today and we go out and say, well, I've done pretty well and I think I can do better. I. No, it's I trust in the Lord, if we want to say use I. What would he have me do? How can I better live up to his example? And also, at the same time, the Lord provides us with examples of strength in the Holy Spirit, of firmness for the truth, faithfulness to his word. And these are things that we want to do more of, to emulate those things, to take those examples from our brethren and to use them, to apply them to our own lives, that we can improve our characters. So let us be strong and let us be courageous in the strength which he supplies, all the good things which he supplies, and the promises to increase as we are able and willing to go on and accept these things each day, that we are privileged to know him and call him Father. So again, we want to be faithful to him as a faithful son, faithful children to the Heavenly Father. It shows us that we must daily then live up to our privileges and responsibilities, that we want to feast on the word of the Lord, feast on our Lord, his example, throughout another year, as we were privileged indeed to do so throughout this past year. And that we are doing these things willingly. Again, we remember the Lord's example from John 10, 17 and 18, where he said he was a willing sacrifice. He took the bread during that supper and he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body. I give it willingly. No man can take it from me. No man can give it. It's my body broken, not by others, not taken, but he gave it lovingly, willingly, totally. On account of this, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may receive it again. No one taketh it from me, but I lay down it of myself. I have the authority to lay it down and to receive it again. And this commandment I receive from the Father. And so, this would give the life, this life-giving merit of his ransom price, first of all to the church and then to all of mankind. This is a prospect of joy that was set upon our Lord before him. The joy of blessing all the families of the earth. the joy that was set before him was also that he would endure the cross, despise the shame. And also that he sacrificed his life willingly, he gave it up, and he said to us, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, ye have no life in you. John 6:53. So, he saw the things before him. He willingly endured. He passed these things on to us. Those who would be willing followers of him that would also sacrifice and be broken and used and then totally consumed in the service during their walk in this narrow way. So we want to do these things in our lives. We want to also not get caught in ruts in our lives that we're spinning and spinning and spinning and we're not progressing. We're not developing in further. We want to fully develop. You know, it has something to do with being awake. Perhaps we were up a little late last night. We want to be awake. And we can be tired physically, but we can have an alert mind. Isn't that what our Christian walk is? We're being used, consumed, but that new mind is strong. It's so strong that it's able to rise above all the situations that we have in the world, and we can meditate on His Word, and we can grasp those plans and purposes and promises, and we can develop and have it even stronger. Because it's offered from the Lord. It came down from the Heavenly Father through the faithful ones that have served, each in their own way, to be faithful to this calling, that we would have this ministry of the Holy Spirit through us and then the opportunity to live and reign with Him. Luke 12:35-37. Again, because we've made a resolution, and it is my goal is Christ and Christ alone. Again, not new words to us, but it's sort of a reaffirmation of what is in our hearts and minds and what we want to do. We love to do His will. We love to learn of His ways. And we want to be joint heirs with Him. And as we desire to do these things, again, we have terms laid out. You want to do these things, there are terms. Everything has terms. It's like the contract we've entered into. There are terms. You have to fulfill them. We know our Lord and our Heavenly Father, they're going to fulfill the terms that they have. And here's what they want us to fulfill. It's self-denial. There's a term of self-denial. Denying self, I'll bless you. The Lord did it. He was blessed. Are ye able, He said, to take of this cup? Cross-bearing. Taking up that cross, following Him. And we know that as you bear your cross, it's heavy at times, and at times it's light. But we look at the things that the Heavenly Father said, cast your burdens on me. You have certain things to fulfill. But if you lean on me and trust in me, what did he say? Your burdens will be light. Your burdens will be light. So cast your care upon him because he careth for you. So we should not be saddened, downtrodden in these experiences that we have, but we should be joyous. Because as we know, another condition is walking in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, becoming followers of Christ, Acts 14:2. So it's these conditions have to be met in our lives, and each day we have to see that we're meeting those. For those who will be ultimately exalted to that position of divine nature, of the divine nature, it's necessary that they have this loyalty to God. That they have self-sacrifice, proven to the utmost. that they have responded to those words from Colossians 3:2, that a priority is setting your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. What happens to things on this earth if you set your affection on? Here today, gone tomorrow. Not a sure thing. And that happens over and over again. People put their trust in worldly powers and leaders, and they find out that the leader only cared about himself, or he was corrupt, and he was hiding treasures when people were starving. You know, these leaders, we found out, they had cellars full of all this imported food and freezers full of expensive things to drink and closed-circuit TV and satellite dishes, and the person had potatoes and bread to eat. Don't put your affections, your trust on things of the earth, but on things above. And that's what we want to do. That's what we are doing. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For these earthly things, they're only delusions. Power. Glory on earth. Delusion. I don't know if you saw this. There was a little news clip on TV. I just happened to think about it. There was a 12-year-old boy in England. They were talking about Christmas, and they said, well, what was Christmas to you? Well, I was really happy. I got a really nice computer set up, and when I went there on the screen, he punched it up, and it said, go to the garage. He went to the garage. There was a brand new Ferrari sitting in the garage for this 12-year-old boy. All he could do was drive it out through the driveway or have his chauffeur take him out on the road. Now, have the worldly ambitions and reality gotten so out of whack? They have. But doesn't it, and everybody thought that was the greatest thing. I didn't. Because maybe one of my teenagers would maybe want one now. But in our lives, we realize that these things are but the pastimes of an hour. They're going to fade. One day that Ferrari will be rusted, thrown away. But not these treasures which we're striving to lay up in heaven. They won't be corrupted. The moth won't be able to hurt them. Rust will not hurt them. Nothing will, because they're treasures in heaven. So, in this world, you'll have crushed hopes, leaving the heart broken and barren. These treasures of wealth, fame, social distinction, friends, home, position, power, influence, they're subject to decay and change. They may vanish in a night. Friends long trusted may become cold and even turn against us because of our beliefs, because that we're following the Lord's footsteps, walking the narrow way. And if we see again that these become heavy burdens to us, we call upon the Lord, because the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And he saveth such as are of this contrite, this sincere sorrow for sin heart, because of their spirit, their understanding. And their further thoughts brought out in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto you if you trust in him. If you continue to develop and see that he has confidence in you, he sees your heart's desire and loyalty to him and his plans and purposes. He sees the sincerity of your consecration. Even though he sees weaknesses again there and shortcomings, he sees also the inability of us to fully carry out our own determinations. Paul said it many times. The things I really want to do, well, I have a lot of trouble doing. The things I don't want to do, they come pretty easy. In my way of speaking. And don't they? We want the things that serve God and his children to be the things that come easily to us. They do involve sacrifice. But the more we do them, the easier they should become. Because we have been accepted as sons and heirs. Our weaknesses and shortcomings are covered by this all-sufficient merit of our Redeemer, But we humbly say these words. We humbly trust in Him, come what may. And He has honored us in our lives again in the past and will continue to do so in the future, accepting us as sons, honored and beloved. He makes us His own. He invites us to secret counsels, to things in the Scriptures that we have the keys for through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 13:11. He invites us, as He has in the past and will so in this new year, to confide in Him, to pour out our hearts to Him as children, and to speak freely of whatever concerns us in our lives. No matter how small it may seem, that's the flesh saying, oh, that's too small, insignificant. But we have to go to Him with all these things. And He'll help us because He has a loving interest in the affairs of His children, even the smallest affairs. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. You know, this is really, I think, part of the goal that we have, that our Heavenly Father is indeed interested and concerned in every aspect of our life. And then as He goes on and He blesses us, He commits a portion of His great work to us. And you know, at the same time, He gives us talents to be developed, and He helps develop those. Certain portions of His good, He tells us to invest them in accord with the judgments that we have based upon our new mind, our prayerful attitude, that they would bring in profit to us. That is, profit to the development of the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. That we submit further to His plan. That we want to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. To develop and give meat in due season. To do good to all men as we have an opportunity. But especially to those of the household of faith. To observe the times and the seasons and the character of the work in each of those. Seed growing in the spring, reaping in the harvest, and so forth. And He sets us then to go and preach these tidings of great joy, the glad tidings of the gospel. But not as, you know, little robots going out there, but with feelings, emotions. Each of us has our own things that we have developed in our lives. We come from different backgrounds, different situations, but we're all fit together, molded, shaped, chiseled to fit into that glorious temple. And that's what we want to do. We want to be pleasing to Him, come what may. We want to trust in Him more and more. We want to develop more zeal, more faithfulness. Not only in the use of our hands in service, but the use of our minds, to keep them active, strong. And as His confidence in us increases, we're entrusted with more and more of the goods. And we are entrusted with more and more of the Heavenly Father's approval, because our heart is drawing closer to Him. So we have a confidence in Him, and we have a mutual trust that fills our hearts, and a mutual sympathy for all. Again, because the Lord prayed a prayer for us along this line in John 17, verses 20 to 23. I pray for them that they may be one, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. And so this is a prayer that our Lord prayed for the footstep followers, because they had been washed and cleansed. However, still in imperfect earthen vessels, their hearts can be made perfect in His sight, because He is able to read the heart. Because their hearts have a perfect intention, that they don't want to hurt or harm in any way, that they have this perfect purpose of striving to overcome the weaknesses and disabilities of the imperfect flesh. Sometimes it takes a painful yet determined effort to go on and endure and overcome these things. But to trust in Him, come what may, to simply trust in Him and the provisions that He has made, these are important things to do. And continuing to develop this love within us to reach that mark of perfect love and then stand firm and fast in it. For the Father's love for us and for Christ Jesus was manifested in the words from Romans 8:17. That's Romans 8:17. And 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. For we are called to be joint heirs with His Son and partakers of His glory. And even as all things are His, they are also said to be ours. So let us go on, dear brethren, to strive to walk in the dear Lord's footsteps, to strive, as it says in Acts 9:31, to walk in the fear and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that these are words that show God's dealings with His people. And that we want to always be about examining ourselves and looking for ways of service and further development and further grasping on of the responsibilities that we have set before us. That we want to have more knowledge and develop the things that are important for us to develop. And we want to go on and be used in His service. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. So it's first the sacrifice in our lives and then the joys. I know this is what all of us have and our heart desires. That we can go on in our lives seeing the Father, seeing our Lord Jesus face to face. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Let us go on in our lives looking forward to more blessings, more development as each day comes that we are permitted to go on in this walk, going on to that hope set before us. We've accepted that invitation to walk in His footsteps. We humbly desire to go on and do all these things, living up and fulfilling the conditions of our call, that we may be found faithful and inherit all the blessed things of great joy to the little flock. And certainly, no tongue or pen can tell of the peace, the joy, the blessings that lie before us. But they include immortality, unfading glory, perpetual peace, fullness of joy in His presence, dwelling eternally with the Father and with the dear Master. Remembering those words, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So, brethren, let us strive to go on, thanking the Heavenly Father for the gifts. Thanking Him for the trials and experiences were also gifts because they show that we are being worked with. We are being used and developed in a way pleasing to Him. Let us go on to seek first those things which are above, where Christ Jesus sitteth on the right hand of God. Let us be active in our service. Let us give our all to Him, come what may. Let us serve Him to the best of our abilities, and He will continue to bless us and keep us along those lines. Let us strive to do these things. So, dear brethren, in closing, we do not know what is before us in this coming year that we are about to enter into, but we don't really need to know. We need to know that God loves us. He has a plan for us. We're in that. If we have committed our all to Him, we will be in His care eternally. So let us assure our hearts afresh of divine wisdom and power and love. Let us rest confidently upon His plans and purposes in the everlasting arms of our Lord, that we may take whatever His providence may permit, not only willingly, but joyfully, through the blessings and encouragement that we have through one another and through our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll be able to endure all these things and say that we are submitting to the shaping process. The cup which my Father hath poured upon me, shall I not drink it? Shall I not go on and fulfill these things ask of me and do it faithfully and lovingly and willingly? And let us continue to strive, lay down our lives for each other.